You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner, devoted to helping you become a soul on fire.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Oberbrunner, and I have with me a very special guest. I'll introduce her in a moment, but this is episode 53 of the Igniting Souls podcast. And we're calling this one, Get Paid What You're Worth and How to Score Big Contracts with Complete Strangers. So, Jonalee, isn't that a funny title?
That's a great title.
It's always about the title. So what I want to do today is I recently did a talk at the Igniting Souls Fellowship. That's a monthly gathering that I do free for the Ohio community. And gee, if you missed me talking about that, that is a great business building strategy. And in fact, Jonalee, let's just jump right in with that. We'll tell the story of how we met in a little bit, but let's talk about the fellowship. You've been there how many times, do you think?
I think I've been there about 6 or 7 times.
Awesome. Awesome. And I want to challenge our listeners, because some of our listeners are saying, gee, Carrie, I don't know how to get the word out about my business. I don't know how to, you know, or here's one other one. Everybody asked to pick my brain. You know, everybody's emailing me, calling me, asking me to pick my brain. And really, it turns into free advice. And as entrepreneurs or business leaders or even ministry leaders, a lot of people just don't have time. And so what I do, Jonalee, throughout the month is I kind of keep my antennas up and I basically say, you know, any brain picker requests, I just invite them to be my special guest at the Igniting Souls Fellowship. In addition to that, I invite the community and people show up. And Jonalee, why don't you give your impression of what the fellowship is? Kind of when you walk in, just explain the room, explain the setting, and we're going to hear so much about you and your website and your business here in a moment and even how we met. But talk first about the fellowship.
Well, the fellowship is just fantastic. When I found out about the fellowship and that it was free every month, I create my business schedule around the fellowship. I don't want to miss the fellowship because there is such great teaching and learning that happens in the fellowship. Carrie, I can't thank you enough for holding these. There's a lot of regulars who come. You know, sometimes there's 40 some people in the room. I've never been there with less than about 25. But it's an opportunity for us to learn, for us to pick your brain, for us to be inspired by what you do and how your business continues to grow, to help us think about better ways to grow our businesses. But it's also an opportunity to network together. It's just a really fun time.
Awesome. And that's really what it is. I mean, I show up, I prepare, you know, sometimes hours, but I always pre-purpose content. So guess what, Jonalee, right? Today is last month's fellowship topic. And I do that for a reason. One is because people in the Igniting Souls tribe get really mad when they live out of state and they say, what? Why are you teaching on that? We would really benefit. And so I say, hey, listen to the podcast because I'll reteach it in a different venue. And last month's was so, just people needed it. People needed how to know to get paid what they're worth. And we did this really cool exercise last month, but the story kind of popped in my head about how I met you, because that's really a lot of these principles in action. It's one thing just to teach theory. It's another to teach action. So Jonalee, let's jump right into that. You know, we started by talking about the fellowship. We started talking about how to create this business incubator for your clients. But I show up on this airplane, what was it, last February. Yeah. So we're almost
a year ago.
Yes. So we're almost going on a year. And I show up. And why don't you just kind of describe the whole story? And I'm going to talk up Jonalee here in a moment. Jonalee, explain your last name. How do you pronounce that?
Zupancic.
Zupancic. And your website is minds.
mindsonmath.com.
Mindsonmath.com. So I walk into this airplane, you're there, and I sit next to you, and I totally just say this was a God thing. I'm so glad that
it was so coincidental, ironic. I can't even explain it.
Yeah. Well, you go for it. You tell the story, and then I'll draw out the business principles, and we'll make it applicable for all the listeners.
Great. Fantastic. Well, I fly fairly frequently to do speaking engagements, and I ended up finding out that Carrie and I were both going home from speaking engagements, but I'll kind of set the stage for you. I'm in the middle seat on an airplane, and there's a lady to my left, and then there's Carrie to my right. He's at the window seat. And I was the lady to my left, and I had talked for probably the first 2 hours of the flight. We had about another hour and a half to go. And in the middle of the flight, Carrie had to use the restroom. Of course, he's in the window seat. So we got up, we let him out. And when he came back, I decided, hey, I've been talking to this lady to my left for 2 hours. Why not give a little bit of conversation to this guy on my right? And he comes back in. And my first question was, is Columbus home? Because we were both on a flight headed for Columbus, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And of course, his answer was yes. And I basically had just asked where he was coming from and what he was doing, just kind of asking some questions, some casual conversation, and ended up we were both coming from speaking engagements and headed home from events that we had just done. And then Carrie kind of took over and started asking the questions. I kind of like to ask the questions, but Carrie started to ask the questions and asked what I was speaking about and who I was speaking to. And so I explained and described that and shared what my message and what I do. And ironically enough, it's a similar story to what Carrie had just written a book about, his book, Day Job to Dream Job. I'm a teacher turned entrepreneur, and that's really what his book is about. And I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. But then Carrie asked me the one question that I am asked all the time. And it's the question that I hope that I'm never asked because I don't have a good answer to it. And that was, do you have a book? Do you have a book with your message? And of course, my answer was no. I had contributed to a couple of books, but I didn't have my own book with my message to share with the world. And many people ask me all the time after I speak or after I do some instructional coaching with them, if I have a book that they can purchase with everything that I've just shared with them. And the worst business answer to that question is no. And Carrie said, well, if you're willing for about the next hour of this flight, we could knock out the beginning of a book for you. I was very skeptical. but I was pleasantly amazed after that hour was up, because within that hour, Carrie had coached me to create a title, a subtitle, and organize my information in a table of contents with all of my chapter headings. I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe that we had met and we had shared similar stories, and that he was teaching lessons on exactly what I needed. And here he was right next to me on an airplane.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you look at that whole airplane and the energy, you know, as we chatted, was just, I think it was a total God thing. And, you know, nobody in that airplane that would, I think, would have been the right seat except for that seat. And I'll tell you what, folks, that's the story from her angle. And you know, Jonalee, from our Igniting Souls Fellowship, we do this little exercise. And this exercise, remember about the truck driver?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love the exercise. Learned so much from it.
Yeah. So let me explain the exercise. You guys can totally do this. And here's the point. You have basically two sheets of paper and you have a partner, and one person reads their story to themselves. The other person reads their story to themselves. And basically there's two characters. One character is a grocery store owner. The other character is a truck driver. Food delivery. And basically, it gives two scenarios. One scenario is that this gal who owns the grocery store is completely out of fruit, fresh fruit. It's July 4th. It's the time of the year where if she doesn't sell fruit to happy customers, it is done. She is over, her job is eliminated, there's already competition in the marketplace, et cetera, et cetera. That's one person's story. The other person's story is that they're a truck driver, their refrigeration unit broke down, they have fresh fruit, and there's no way that they can get this delivered to the place that they need to on time. And if they don't deliver this food and get paid, they're going to be eliminated from a job soon. So you have these two stories. Nobody knows the other person's sheet, what's on their sheet. And each person walks in and then meets each other. And then you role play. And I did this exercise with a coaching group that I was part of a while back. And it was a fantastic exercise. My mind was blown. And here's why it was blown. Well, actually, before that, John Lee, before I tell you why my mind was blown, what did you think of the experience as you did it with a partner? Who were you? Were you the truck driver or the...
I was the truck driver. And it was interesting. Do you want me to share kind of about the story?
Yeah.
Or not yet? Okay. So it was interesting because the truck driver is in this desperate situation. And so sometimes I feel like in my business or in selling to clients, I sometimes feel like I'm in this desperate situation. So it was perfect. It actually described me, not that I'm a truck driver, but it described how I felt or how I feel sometimes when I'm in my business ventures. And so by being the truck driver, I knew that I needed to and had to make a sale. And so it was a great exercise for me to go through it and then reflect on how I handled the situation, which I didn't handle it very well.
Yeah. But you know what? That situation is so classic. When I became an entrepreneur, same thing. Oh my gosh, you know, I was always trying to sell because I felt that pressure, you know, like I have to sell, I have to make a sale. I often focused on my current position, and that was, you know, actually, this was prior to even going pro. I said, if I'm going to replace my income, I have to prove to myself that I can make it before I go pro. So I had this pressure like, Carrie, if you can't sell, what's your problem, man? You're never going to go pro. And so I constantly had this focus on myself. And Johnalee, would you agree that when we do that as entrepreneurs or business leaders, people, the other person can read that?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. They feel that panic. They feel that pressure. They feel that angst. And they say, I don't want to work with this person. The other thing though is, Johnalee, as we did that exercise, the people, and again, everyone approaches that exercise differently, but after you know the exercise, you know what's on the paper, you say, oh my gosh, if I would have gone into that conversation, let's say you're the truck driver, and I would have asked Betty, I think her name is, if I would have asked Betty just how she's doing, what her day's like. You remember when Joel and I did that in front of the group?
Yes.
I think I was the truck driver. Joel was the grocery store owner. And I immediately started referencing things. I don't know if you remember that, but I said, hey, I was over by your fruits and it looked like you were kind of low on stock. And Joel started to get a little panicky and he said, well, yes, we are low on stock, you know? And so in other words, I showed up, filled up. That's what I talk about. If you visualize a glass, most people approach business conversations with their cup empty or their cup half full. In other words, they're focused on their quota, their needs, the boss's desires, the company's vision, and they're focused on themselves. And as a result, when they go into the conversation, they're not really listening. They're not really engaged. They didn't show up filled up. And as a result, they miss all kinds of things. What I do is I focus on other people. And I do all the tough soul work, the core work before that says, do I have what it takes? Can I make this really happen? And Johnalee, I know you've been doing that in your business. We're going to talk about the end of the story here in a moment, but how has that mindset shifted you in your business, showing up, filled up, being focused on the other person and not yourself?
Oh, it absolutely has changed the way that I approach my clients, and it's changed the number of clients that I have. It's also changed the satisfaction of the clients. Before I start any new job, or even before I venture into a sales pitch, for lack of a better phrase, I'm always investigating and learning and listening. And so I have a lot of sentence starters and prompts and questions that I use to dig for that information before I share any of my information, because I want to make sure that what I say is going to match their needs, cater to their needs, and that I'm not selling myself short, or I'm not overselling. I need to hear what they're saying. I need to listen, and I need to gather as much information as possible so that I can best serve them.
Awesome. So let's go back to the airplane. And I'm so glad. That's why I like you, because you put all this stuff into practice, right? You don't just let it go in. I mean, you literally make this happen.
Absolutely. Implementation is key. It takes me a while to learn something. And that's why I come to your fellowship every month, because and that's why I listen to your podcasts and I read your books, because there is some of the same information over and over again. But really, to best implement something, we do need to hear it and see it time and time again so that we can truly implement it and completely transform our mindset. So, yeah, implementation is the key.
Oh, yeah. And I told a story at the fellowship. I mean, how one of my first quote sales pitches, I was so nervous. I was wearing a suit. You know, I was thinking about going pro, leaving my day job. And I was almost having a panic attack in the van, you know, before I went up. And then when I went up in the big office, I was carrying a thick binder and I was, you know, going to display all the things I could offer. In other words, I came pressured speech, nervous, armed with uncomfortable binders, basically, you know, talking, doing most of the talking. And what I've realized is that you don't need to do most of the talking. You need to do active listening, and you need to do fact finding. And as I was sitting next to you on that airplane, I think that I probably was even working either on my own book or one of our Author Academy Elite books, you know? And so I was in the zone, and like anybody, or I don't know, maybe not like most people, I can be very task oriented, but I'm glad I had to use the restroom because I got up. And then when I came back, you asked a question, and here's what I did, folks. I didn't like give somewhat of an answer and then go back. I think I just literally shut down my computer, put it down, and just was fully present.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's a huge thing, because, you know, people can read that. And if you're not fully present, you miss so much. So then I was fully present, and, you know, you were on the topics of speaking and conferences, and I had just come. So we had that mutual connection already. And it sounded like your conference was fantastic. And then I did, from your end, I think you said something that you usually like to do, which is ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got on the topic of books. And the moment I got on the topic of books, you know, I could see your interest. I could feel your passion. I knew that this was something that you were already about. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like, hey, I've never heard of books, or I don't even have that in my head. You are even a contributor in certain books, you said. Correct?
Yes, correct.
So here's what I did, folks. And I'm going to give you three rules here in a moment. But what I did is I entered, and this wasn't like strategy, John Lee. I think you know me enough now to know I wasn't trying to like strategize or something. But what I did is I simply entered the conversation that was already going on in your mind.
Yes.
Right? I mean, because you already thought, gee, you know, I need a book, and I'm a contributor, and, you know, people are asking me. And in other words, you had already had that in your mind, correct?
Absolutely. And it was really, it really was one of the biggest barriers to my business moving forward.
Wow. Wow. So then what I did is I started to ask you. And then here's what most people do. Most people talk about coaching. Oh, you know, I'm an author coach, and here's what I do to help people. No, 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 folks. The best thing you can do, because I think stats are less than 1 out of 10. I forget. I used to know these stats back when I really wanted a lot of coaching clients. Now I don't look for coaching clients anymore. But I had all the stats back then, but I think less than 1 in 10, or maybe it's even worse than that, have ever been coached. So when you talk about something that someone's never experienced, it's not effective. That's like saying, hey, let me tell you about what the moon's like. You know, oh, it's going to feel like this and it's going to, you know, you're going to be weightless. You don't understand that. The best thing I can do, the best thing you can do in sales is you can coach people in that moment. And so that's what I did, John Lee. I basically, and again, now that I'm dissecting it, it sounds very mechanical and, but it wasn't. It was all flow. I didn't even have to think. I don't even think you had to think. It was just kind of all there.
Absolutely. It was just conversation.
Yeah, exactly. So then what I did is I literally coached you, and I thought, you know what? Hey, if at the end of this, and I think this is where the heart check is. If the heart check is, well, if I'm going to give this lady an hour of my time and my best stuff and my best secrets, and then she doesn't buy from me, well, then, you know, she got one over on me. And I think that anytime you have that type of heart or mindset, you've already lost. So what I did is I didn't care. I'm not attached to the outcome. And that's another principle in this. So I guess if we're making up points, you know, show up, filled up, number one, enter the story that's already in the person's head, number two, number three, be unattached to the outcome. So we're making these up as we go, but be unattached from the outcome. And I didn't mind, you know, obviously I cared about what you took with the advice, because that's important. But if at the end of the day, you didn't ever see me again, that's okay. I helped you out. And you're right. We opened up my laptop then. We started to, oh yeah, and here's what else I did. You remember this? I said, Johnally, because we have an hour remaining flight, and because we want to achieve this goal of a table of contents, title and subtitle, remember what I said?
I need to stay focused.
Well, and I think I said it like, if we get off topic, can I interrupt you and bring you back? Remember that?
Yes.
Something like
ask
that.
Ask the permission. Yes.
Yeah. So I asked for permission. You know, I didn't say like midway, oh, she's going off topic, we'll never finish. No, I said, you know what? Here's the goal. Because we have a limited flight, if you get off topic, can I interrupt you? And folks, you need to ask for permission. In coaching, you need to ask for permission. Coaching is not driving. You know, the consulting and coaching are different. Consulting is you're paid to give advice and you give advice. Coaching is leading people through questions to an outcome that they probably subconsciously might even already know. So I led you through that through questions, and you know, once in a while we got back on topic. But then let's talk about at the end. I want to know what kind of went through your mind. We're nearing the end of the chat. You now have a table of contents. You have a title, you have a subtitle. I don't know what's going on in your mind as we're starting to taxi or whatever.
What was amazing about that experience was I knew that you had taken me through a process that created something that I was unable to do for myself for probably the previous 5 years. Mm. And you were able to do that in an hour. And I had, and this is your word, and I use it all the time now, but I had more clarity about my content and my vision and what this book was going to be about in that hour than I had in the past 5 years. And I knew that I wanted to learn more. And so if I remember correctly, I asked you something to the effect of, how do I continue to learn from you? What next? How can I continue to work through this process? Because you obviously had expertise. You had written many books. The last book that you had written really struck a chord with me because it was about transformation from day job to dream job, mm-hmm. which is an amazing book. And I knew that you could help me do what I have been wanting to do for a while.
Awesome. So in my mind, I knew that I had a highly, you know, for some people, it would be an author program. And, you know, for some people, they'd say, well, gee, that's a significant dollar investment. That's a significant commitment. And yet, I don't even know what I did. Did I say I have a webinar or something?
Yes.
Okay.
So you had said that you had a webinar that I could take a look at, and I had gotten your book as well. And so you had given me, you know, just some other resources that you had on your website, and you sent me the webinar. And I don't think at that time you talked about the fellowship. I think I found out about that later. I think, you know, you gave me probably as little as possible at that point. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I went home that evening. I got home late that evening and probably stayed up till about 3 a.m. I watched the webinar, and then mm-hmm. I did a lot of research on you and mm-hmm. what you were about. I had no idea who you were.
Sure. No, that's cool.
So I watched the webinar and, just looked through the internet and found out about you and your story and all of the things that you offer to people just like me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then less than 24 hours later or 36 hours, I don't even remember, but you joined the program?
I did, yes. Yeah. Yes, the Author Academy Elite Program.
Yeah. So you joined the Author Academy Elite Program. You've been a full-on person ever since. You've been applying the principles, you've been going to the fellowship, you know, it's been fantastic. And what I want to talk about here, kind of as we wrap things up, I talk about it's the law of compensation. Remember this a little bit?
Yes.
In the last fellowship? Yeah. So when people say, I don't know how to get paid what I'm worth, it's not just throwing out a big figure. You know, oh, I want $20,000, so that's what I'm going to say I'm worth. No, there's something called the law of compensation, which one of my mentors taught me, and I'm going to explain it here in a moment. But folks, don't miss the fact why Jonali was leaning in, okay? And I tell people in sales, that maybe it's a horrible analogy, but again, I've never taken a sales class in my life, which is funny. I have a doctorate, a master's, a bachelor's, all in stuff that's not related to business. But I'll tell you why I'm a good business person and a salesperson, because to me, selling is serving. You've heard me say that a bunch, Jonali, at the fellowship too. Selling is serving. Would you agree?
Absolutely, yes.
So when I say I've never taken a sales class, good. You know, I've taken 39 years of serving classes. And as a result, I think because of that, I'm a good salesperson. But I hate sales. I think we all hate sales. We hate that person out there who's pitchy, pushy. But the phrase is that it's easier to kiss when someone's leaning in, okay? And I know that's a weird example or something like that, but here's the point. Jonali said that I created value for her in an hour, which formerly took her 5 years. Folks, the way that you can charge higher fees, remember the subtitle, Get Paid What You're Worth and How to Score Big Contracts with Complete Strangers. You do those first three things that I told. Show up, filled up, jump into the story that's already inside their head. I don't know what was the third one, Jonali. I don't remember.
Be unattached to the outcome.
Be unattached to the outcome. Thank you very much. And here's the point. Create value. Create value. And when I created value for Jonali, it didn't matter. If I would have never seen her again, I would have been bummed. But at the same point, are you getting a knock at the door?
I am. I'm sorry.
So Jonali just had the doorbell ring. And Jonali,
I'm sitting in my home office and the window is right beside the front door.
Yes.
So and that's where my office is. So I'm sure she could see that I was
she
in here. So
she
rang
you.
The doorbell and she knocked. I turned all my ringers off on all my phones too.
You're fine. But this is great. I told her, let's not bleep this out. I love it. It's authentic. But here's a salesperson. And with what they're doing is they're doing what's called interruption marketing, right?
Yes.
Interruption marketing means you already answered the door frustrated and annoyed. This is what happens all the time in the world. It's because people interrupt someone when they're already doing something or going somewhere. One of the things I did for Jonali is We were both captive audiences. We both were on a flight. There was no interruption. And you might say, well, how do you do that, Carrie, if you're not on an airplane? Because if you just sell on airplanes, that's going to be really expensive. You're going to fly all over the world. No, what we do is we create value. And John Lee, you've seen this all over the place. You see my business often. I see your business often. We create value first. And so the podcast is free. It creates value. Webinars are free. They create value. I am constantly creating value, getting people to, here's what I do. I increase the awareness of their need. You're a math tutor or teacher?
Yes,
or
a
trainer?
Teacher math tutor.
Excellent. How do you raise people's awareness for their need before they even know it? How do you get them leaning in, you know, so that the sale can happen? And how do you get create value for them?
Well, it's interesting because, again, it's just through conversation. Whenever I have a conversation with a teacher or a school leader, a principal, a curriculum leader, if I happen to be just somewhere out of context, like an airplane or an airport or the grocery store or at a school event, and I know that this might be a potential client, again, I ask those questions. You know, what do you do? Oh, how is it going? How are the kids doing? What's your performance like? You know, I just ask all these questions to gather information. And then we just have a conversation about teaching strategies. Mm-hmm. And I'm a teacher and I was with a school district for 15 years. And so we just start to talk about some of the things that we do in the classroom that benefit students. And a few of those things that I say happen to kind of grab their attention and make them curious. And then they start asking more about what I'm talking about. And then, you know, from there, it's kind of like our airplane story where, you know, you began to coach me because I asked you to coach me, not mm-hmm. probably in those words, but in a sense that's what happens in my business as well. They inadvertently ask me to coach them. And so then the teaching begins. And as you phrase it, they begin to lean in. I see that now. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So there's a couple things. One is clarity attracts, confusion repels. A lot of times I see people on social media or even just chatting with people, and they're not clear on what their value proposition statement is, their VPS. And I'm very clear on what mine is. It's right on my website. If you want to go to carrieoberbrunner.com, front page, look at, see what it says. It's my VPS right there. It says, I'm an author, coach, and speaker who helps people get clarity, right? On who they are, why they're here, and where they're going so they can become a soul on fire and share their message with the world. Within that, I have a whole product suite and buyer's journey with different products and services all tied to that value proposition statement. Folks, this is the type of stuff that if you have not signed up for the Igniting Souls Conference coming up in October, it's every October, but whenever you're listening to this webinar, hey, go to IgnitingSoulsConference.com. John Lee, were you at the last one?
Yes, I was. It was the most amazing weekend.
We have people fly in from the UK for this conference. And again, you know, it's not a huge conference on purpose, but every session is chocked full of this type of stuff that is tactical, practical, implementable, if that's even a word. I don't know if you're an English tutor too. But so let's talk about the law of compensation and then we'll kind of wrap up here. But so you can't just say, here's what I'm going to charge. What you do is all of your charging is based on what's called the law of compensation. It's three things. It's number one, is there a need for your products or services? Number one. And if there's not a need, guess what? Unless you're a novelty, right? And Chia Pets and all that stuff, hey, there was a need. There was a need for entertainment. So anything that is even a fad, there's a need for, right? It might be to fill the fad need. You know, we might have been done with fads for a while. But number one, is there a need in the marketplace? Number two, your ability to meet that need. Now, so far we're tracking. I'll tell you a story in a moment. And number three, the difficulty it is in replacing you. These three things together affect what your pricing is in the marketplace. Let me give you an example. If your furnace goes out, And we're here in Ohio right now. It's winter. It's pretty cold. So if your furnace goes out, John Ali, do you think there are other people in Columbus whose furnaces are going out even today?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. So there's a need in the marketplace. Now, number two, is there companies who have an ability to meet that need?
Oh, yeah, quite a few.
Quite a few. We got Buckeye Heating and Cooling. That's a shout out. I didn't even get paid. I should tell them. Now they'll pay me. Sponsorship, whatever. But there's all kinds. That one comes to mind. So there's all kinds of people who will meet the need. Now, their ability to meet that need, does it change? Yeah, it changed. Some places don't do a good job. Some places don't have good parts. Some places don't have good warranties. So there's a little bit of flex in there. Little bit of flex. Some people do follow-up services or, you know, whatever. Here's the point. Free cleanings, all that stuff. If you call a heating place and say, it is Christmas Day, my furnace just went out, what do you think they're going to charge, John Lee?
Same
price or what?
They're going to charge a lot more.
They're going to charge a lot more. In other words, the difficulty in replacing you just went sky high. Nobody wants to work on Christmas if they're doing furnace replacement. So will somebody? I'm sure somebody will. And I'm sure it's going to be double or triple, quadruple, maybe more. Here's the point. What can you control in that formula? In that formula, right? Need plus ability plus replaceability. Again, I'm inventing words today. It's very fun. But need, right? Need plus ability plus replaceability equals law of compensation. What does that mean? You can't control people's need unless you're the mafia, right? You can't just create need. Now, you might say, well, how can you? John Lee, you just did it. You said you do. You raise their awareness. Remember this?
Yes.
So you might say, oh, your kid's struggling in math. You know, most parents just let that go. But here's what happens if you let that go. It's not going to get easier. Because math builds on itself, every grade they're going to be held back. They're going to struggle. Is this true? I'm making this
absolutely
up.
Absolutely. No, that's perfect.
Yeah. And then what happens? You create a story for that person, that parent, and they say, oh my gosh, I can either live in chronic pain, which is, you know, Jimmy's behind in math, or I can bite the bullet and have acute pain, which is whatever, you know, inconveniencing schedule. Hiring a tutor, the cost of John Lee. What's the cost of not acting? Ooh, there's one. And again, what you're doing is you're raising the awareness of their need. You can do this. This is what I do on webinars. This is what I do on conference calls. But then what you do is you basically do this. You say that, what's your ability to meet that need? John Lee, do you think you're better at tutoring now than you were 5 years ago?
Oh, absolutely.
And I agree with that because you're constantly adding value to yourself. You're listening to these podcasts. You're reading books on the industry in your topic. You're constantly adding value to yourself. So just like somebody has a house and then they add improvements to the house, when they go to sell the house is suddenly what? Worth more. It's the same thing as people. We're all having the same value in God's eyes, but why does one person get $1 million a day and another person gets a dime a day, right? Same genetics, same brain, same heart, whatever. But the value they can create for someone else drives the law of compensation up. So, John Lee, I constantly challenge people, my clients, and I say, you want to make more? You add value to yourself. You continue to grow yourself. John Lee, do you think you've grown over the last 12 months?
Absolutely.
I agree. And this is why, you know, when people say, well, Carrie, you know, I want to work with you. I just had an email today. The subject line, I need a mentor. Great. I'm going to tell this guy, I read his story. My heart breaks for him, but I'm going to say, great. You want me to mentor you? Here's what you go. If you don't have any money, listen to the podcast. If you do have money, great. What level do you want mentorship at? And someone might say, well, that's really weird. Why would you do that? Because John Lee, you have invested lots of income, lots of time, lots of energy and effort to grow yourself. So
yes.
I know it. So when you're able to go and create value for somebody, you need to be compensated for that level. This is why some doctors are very low fee, some are very high fee. And some people's personalities say, I don't care what help I need. I don't care if it takes 10 times longer. I want the lowest rate. Great. I've always been one that says, if you can get me in the same place 10 times faster, I'll pay 10 times more because my time is worth my money. And so this is why Jonna Lee in her business is lapping a lot of other people because she's saying, I'm not going to just sit around and take the slow road up. She says, I want to grow. I'm excited. And as a result, she's lapping other people, just like David and I are doing in our business. So need plus ability plus replaceability equals law of compensation. Folks, I hope this was helpful for you. Lots of practical tips and tidbits. If you do want to know more about the author program Jonna Lee talked about, it's Author Academy Elite. You can text PUBLISH to 33444. Text PUBLISH to 33444 or look me up on CarrieOberbrunner.com, on Facebook, whatever. And we have classes that start every once in a while. And we have only 5% that we take of people who apply. But we'd love to look at your book and see if it would be a good fit. Jonna Lee, how can people find out more about you? You've been such a great guest. And there might be parents who say, oh, wow, I totally want this gal. Jonna Lee, how do I get in touch with her? So what would you suggest?
Absolutely. They can go to www.mindsonmath.com. We have a free newsletter that comes out once a month with tools and tips and strategies for math. And feel free to go to the website and sign up for the newsletter. And Carrie, I can't thank you enough because my business has just grown exponentially, to use a math term in there, because of your teaching and your programs and what you have been able to do, the processes that you've been able to give me and the teachings that you've given me to just really help me help serve others better.
Awesome. Well, Jonna Lee, you are a soul on fire. I know it. We all feel it. And it's been my honor. I'm so glad I took that flight in February. So thank you, God, for that connection. And we cannot wait to read your book when it comes out. And we're going to, you know, link and share that all over social media as well. So do you have a title yet? Or are you still working on that title?
We've got the working title. It's the Mathematical Experience System, 7 steps for helping math teachers refine their craft, increase student achievement, and fall in love with their job all over again. It's all about bringing the joy of teaching and learning of math.
Boom. Clarity attracts. So folks, you heard it here first about her book and Jonna Lee, I can't wait to see it. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Carrie.
You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner, devoted to helping you become a soul on fire.